I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. A sex psychologist recently surveyed 4,000 Americans about their sexual fantasies for a new book that he's doing.
Ooh.
Turns out 25% of us, one out of four, actually have had a sexual fantasy about a cartoon character.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
I mean, Daffy Duck, man, he's hot.
Whoa. Well, he's pantless. That makes sense. Always just, you know, teasing you. I mean, you see those thumbnails. I mean, I don't know. I'm told about those thumbnails.
Oh, there you go.
And there's like everything, you know. Lois seems to be pretty big from Family Guy.
Lois?
Yeah. A lot of people dig Lois.
A lot of people think she's sexy.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of ads on certain websites with videos that they made of her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vicky, you're not going for them, huh? You're not a Lois fan?
No, I think she's too annoying.
Oh, okay.
Mine was, when I was growing up, it was Chitara from the Thundercats.
Absolutely.
Chitara was a smoke show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, how about you guys? I've seen a lot of Kim Possible ones out there.
Yeah.
I remember my first cartoon love.
Yeah?
It was Underdog.
Underdog.
I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I would pretend I'd be cooking for him and... getting ready for, you know, him to come home after a day of saving people.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were Penelope Purebred is what you were, because that was his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, there's no
pretty
need
adorable,
to fear. Vicky's cooking for me here.
Wow.
Both of the Scooby-Doo girls.
You like Velma too?
Well, yeah, when I was a kid. Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen some of the other, actually, Velma's been involved in some kind of thumbnails as well.
Let me tell you,
Velma guy had no idea she had that side to her personality. No idea.
Lola Bunny.
I don't know what the hell that is.
From Space Jam.
Yeah.
Oh,
Bunny.
Yeah.
Was he girlfriend?
Those short shorts.
It was the girl. Yeah, she was hot.
Steve, did you need to actually load up the Gitara videos in order to just remember?
Yeah,
get back in the mood?
Did.
She does look amazing. I'm not going to say she's not.
I mean, Gitara had legs for days.
Yeah, she did.
She put the ho in Thundercats. Ho!
Yeah, Gitara was,
Another one for me was Jessica Rabbit.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
That's a great call.
Yeah.
Maybe that started it all. Really? You know what I mean?
No, I think it's been going on way before.
Yeah. Has it been?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for some people, it was Betty Rubble or Velma. Or not Velma, Wilma.
Neither one of them ever did it for me, but maybe I was too young. You know, I was maybe just too little watching those shows that I never really...
Judy Jetson just got chimed in on the text line.
Oh, Judy Jetson, yeah.
Another person, come on, guys, Jessica Rabbit, all the way.
Yeah.
Someone said Danny wants a piece of Dora the Explorer.
Isn't she like a little kid?
No, they have the teenage version. No, I'm good.
Oh, they do? Yeah. Oh, okay. Alrighty.
So it says, it's a cartoon. I don't get it. I don't even understand.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. But yeah, one in four of us actually have cartoon fantasies.
Matthew said on the text line, I had a big crush on Ariel, the Little Mermaid, when it came out when I was 12 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, those Disney princesses, man, they're pretty... Yeah, they're
especially Little Mermaid, because she was actually wearing a bikini top. It was like, hey,
see, Jasmine was like, I was like, man, oh man, I have a lamp right here, Jasmine.
Wow,
yeah,
wow.
When we took the kids to see that movie, I was like,
awkward.
Okay, I know, because Jasmine really did it for me. I was like, okay, Jasmine, we need to have a conversation.
They're still texting. Seriously, I just don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't understand it either, but I mean, that's just what it is. I don't know if the way those Disney animators made it, but God, all the women, and I mean, really, all of the princesses were just
amazing.
But think about when we were all crushing on cartoons, 12, 13, 14 years old. You just all of a sudden realize that, you know, somebody is attractive to you. So it didn't matter if it was a cartoon version or if it was a real life version. You were just like, wow, there's curves or there's this or whatever it may be that you're into.
Or even just like an emotional thing. It's like, oh, they're such a cool person. Like, I wish they were my friend or my boyfriend or...
Oh, I don't know if Chitara was cool or not. She's kind of vicious.
Steve, that's why you like her. Yeah.
She's a sweet hiney.
Yeah. While she descends into fire.
Yes.
And blows everything up. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's a...
Thundercats were badass. So she was a female and a part of a badass crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but boy, you feel like, man, if I ever do anything wrong, she's going to burn my ass. I guess it's a great way to go, though. More than half of us have actually fantasized about a fictional character from a book or movie. I wonder if the texters can at least go there, or is it because it's not real?
Fictional character.
Yeah.
Man, Drago's wife in Rocky IV.
Oh, yeah?
Brigitte Nielsen.
Oh, Brigitte Nielsen.
Oh, I didn't even know that she was in that.
I forgot that she was in that.
Boy, oh, boy. That was when she was at her, you know, like she was just... Yeah. Jen made it on those reality shows as being a crazy person yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was your generation. Any fictional characters that you guys want to get with?
Between like Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Drogo on the mind.
Right. Yeah. I know. You gave me that idea. God, Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
He's so sweet.
I used to like Daenerys until she had some emotional issues. Even though Emilia Clarke is delightful, but I'm just not going to forget like the last season. First of all, a lot of people didn't like the last season of Game of Thrones anyway, just because of how quick it was and the way it was all put together. But then the fact that I really expected, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen it, but I really expected that character to not be that way. So it's like, man, I'd like to hang with her. Like, I wouldn't mind being her, you know, ruling with her and hanging out with her. She was cool until all of a sudden she wasn't.
Is it weird that, like, when I was a teenager, I had a thing for Nightcrawler from the X-Men?
The first one?
Like, from X-Men Evolution.
The cartoon version. Nightcrawler.
I think, but wasn't that the opening scene in one of the X-Men movies where he's just, like, popping in and out?
Yeah.
He seemed pretty badass.
But it was Alan Cummings played him.
And he's old.
I'm not a fan of him.
Yeah.
Visually, but I did have a crush on the cartoon one because he had a really cute voice and he was really sweet. Oh. So, being a 14-year-old, I'm like, why can't I get a blue-haired boyfriend that's fuzzy all over...
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
With a tail.
And Beast is like, I'm standing right here.
He doesn't have a tail.
Yeah, sorry.
Somebody brought up Izina, the warrior princess.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Somebody turned me on to Spartacus because I didn't realize Lucy Lawless at one point decided to not wear clothes.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea about this.
Yeah, dude. I had no idea either. You look up Spartacus, Lucy Lawless. You're going to get to see what was that partner of hers in Xena? Her sidekick?
Gabrielle?
You're going to get to see what Gabrielle got to see. I had no idea Lucy Lawless decided that she wasn't going to wear clothes in a show. And that was just like, whoa. Lucy is breaking the Lawless.
Boobies.
Yeah.
Boobies.
That's a boobie. Yeah.
What? You're more impressed with Chitara than you are with Lucy Lawless? Really?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that is, you know what? You're un-American.
With all due respect, of course.
You are un-American.
Michelle Pfeiffer, Catwoman, kicked off my puberty. Someone just texted me.
Oh,
yeah, that was.
Kicked off my puberty.
She did a great job. That transformation into the mousy, whatever she was a librarian or something. What was she?
Something like that,
She was very mousy, and then the Catwoman transformation was pretty sexy.
See, I was thinking April O'Neil from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
A lot of people are like.
The live action one?
Both.
Okay.
Both live action and the cartoon. Both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet a lot of people really wanted to get busy with April. I can understand that.
I know that you guys don't agree with me that the Catwoman with Halle Berry was fantastic, but you got to admit that Halle Berry in a Catwoman outfit
is fantastic.
Oh, she
looked great. That's what we all thought this was going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the movie was craptastic,
but
yeah.
It was not. She looked good.
Terrible.
Yeah. I fantasize that I work with a guy that actually likes good movies. That's what I fantasize
Ooh,
about.
Laura Croft.
You do.
Which one?
All of them.
Okay.
Including like the weird like triangle boob Laura Croft?
Well, that's what the one that started it all off.
You're right, Rev. I do remember playing that video game.
Those short shorts, man.
It's like I needed to take a break sometimes from playing the original two. And Vicky's right. For some reason, I mean, it was the worst. I mean, for the time, it was great graphics. But, yeah, I mean.
Still, man.
They're
like two funnels on her chest.
Still, at the time, we were like, I can't believe how realistic this is.
I love Vicky showed someone that cosplayed as that version of Lara Croft.
The low-res version.
That's awesome.
That's pretty funny. Ooh, somebody, this is very odd. I was in love with Optimus Prime when I was a kid. Swoon from Lacey in Marysville.
Interesting.
There's something about like really sexy voices that
it's
kind
the
of
voice.
Yeah, because I was obsessed with Simba, who I think was Matthew Broderick as adult Simba.
Oh, really?
And I loved his voice. I was like, oh my God, he's so amazing.
Like this text says, Vicky, dye your hair green. I'll dye my hair blue. Rogue and Nightcrawler. Just don't get mad if I disappear. LOL.
Rogue doesn't have green hair.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's Polaris.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Wow. Get it right.
Come on.
If you're going to hit on Vicky, do it right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to hit on her and use nerd terms, make sure your nerd terms are correct.
Yeah, yep, sorry,
I'm
buddy.
No longer turned on.
It's
sorry.
Over. No way. She's kind of, you know, she's kind of militant that way. Yeah. One in three people have fantasized about a mythical creature like a vampire or a Bigfoot.
Oh, vampires all the time. Come on, man.
Is anybody fantasizing about Sasquatch? Because if so, we need to talk to them.
Yeah, that's right here.
Some
I mean, Bigfoot.
Right here, right. Guys.
People are doing it. I mean, look, if you'd like Optimus Prime, at least Sasquatch isn't going to be made of metal and, like, violate you in a mechanical way.
But it's he'd be terrible to take pictures with.
Because?
It's always blurry.
Yeah.
Oh.
I knew where you were going with that, Steve.
I missed that. I totally missed that.
Have you ever seen a clear picture of Bigfoot?
That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to step up for the Instagram game.
That's what it is. One in six people have actually fantasized about getting it on with an alien. Now, that's me. I mean, ever since
I... Oh, because of Star Trek.
Yeah, you're talking about a hot green woman that's wearing green paint.
Also hot blue women.
Okay, fine.
Don't keep them out.
What about the depictions of them with the big eyes and the gigantic head and itty-bitty bodies?
Yeah, the grays. I don't want to get with the grays. The Nordics I'm okay with.
Okay.
Some reptilian, because there's some reptilian women in Doctor Who. The Silurians, I believe, are what they called. And they're kind of sexy, some of those Silurian women. So
what about the Gorn?
The Gorn's a little too...
That's a personal question, yeah. Right?
I got rid of that a long time ago. The doctor says, I'll never have that come back.
Oh, congratulations.
So here's what psychologists are saying. They're saying that...
That we're all messed up in the head because we're having a 20-minute conversation about what cartoons we want to have sex with.
Yes.
Okay, that may be the layman's version, but they have a much more clinical explanation.
Okay.
They say that we start fantasizing about fictional characters when we get bored with our sex lives and need some novelty and variety. Isn't
that... So it's like a role-playing thing?
I don't know. You know, here's the problem, and this is a tough thing. When you're in a monogamous situation, you know, biologically speaking, I don't know what it is, but when you see something new that you haven't had sex with, I wonder how much of our monkey brain or lizard brain makes us just want to go, oh, here's another way to make to procreate and make the species go, and you're a new person. You're a new way for me to make this happen. And is that why someone's exciting? Because, I mean, I don't want to, you know, have my eyes stray, but when you're in a monogamous relationship for X amount of years, it does happen, and maybe that's where this is all boiling down from, is like our board sex lives are just because we're with the same people and we've already done the job of, you know, propagating with them. I don't know.
Well, then Halloween could be great because you got to dress up as your favorite cartoon character.
That's so true.
For him.
How?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think role playing does work, Steve, and people, you know, dyeing their hair, wearing different outfits. It makes your brain think you got somebody new.
Apparently there are books about Bigfoot sex fantasies.
Oh, I bet there are.
Oh, yeah, probably on Amazon.
They are. I've seen their books.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on those books.
Of dinosaur humanoid sex fantasies.
Don't forget hentai. That's out there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are those self-published, or did they find actually a book publisher to put those out for them?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, it's called Bigfoot Fantasy Books. Yeah, BFB. You haven't heard of them?
No.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, there's a guy, if you look on Amazon, called Chuck Tingle. And he's put all sorts of weird erotic books.
I'm sorry, but with the last name Tingle, of course you're into eroticism.
It's a pseudonym, but there's one, Bigfoot Pirates.
Oh, Bigfoot Pirates.
And some other ones I can't name.
So is this heterosexual? Is this what, you know, who's into this?
Anybody who is into...
Bigfoot enthusiasts.
Basically.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's guys or girls or whatever that are like...
Well, all
Bigfoot
the pictures that I'm looking have dudes with six-pack abs and then like a unicorn or a snake or... there's an alien. No, that's a Frankenstein. My bad.
Not too sure who's looking at. Probably Danny. Probably Danny.
Yeah. I just look forward for the day that off because Mike Hawk shares the same room as the Rev, and maybe he checks the history, and this is what's going to be popping up on the history of what Rev has been searching in the mornings.
I just found a book on living corn.
Okay.
What?
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, we've lost the Rev for the rest of the day.
Yeah, we have.
Sorry, guys.
Put the blinds down. We don't want to see what he's doing.
No, we don't want to see that. Here's what you do want to see. The fact that you could own a piece of Seattle rock history. This is pretty awesome. The only caveat is that it'll cost you $300,000. What is this? Well, I'm going to tell you at 8:17 on The Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Now, for the second time in 4 years, the green cardigan that Kurt Cobain wore for Nirvana's MTV Unplugged episode is going up for auction.
Oh, boy.
It's expected to sell for around $300,000 with a starting bid of about $50,000. The current owner, who is an anonymous businessman, kept it stored in an acid-free tissue in a safe, and he bought it at auction in 2015 for $137,500. So how about just in 4 short years, he thinks he's going to be able to pretty much double that.
Well, he just needs one person that's willing to spend that kind of coin.
Wow.
I mean, even if I had a ton of cash, I don't know if I'd really want that. I'd want, like, Kurt's guitar. Yeah. From Unplugged. Yeah. I would love that. And I'd be willing, if I was rich as F, I'd spend good money on that.
You would get that. But you, yeah. The guitar is a cool looking thing. I mean, a sweater.
What do you do? Put it on?
Yeah. Some people, you know, I don't think they'd ever put it on if they wanted to, if they want to resell
it. No, I know.
But I'd put it on.
Apparently, it's never been washed.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's.
Oh, well, he wore it, and then we got it unwashed from him.
That's what it says.
I okay. like how the most people would be like, oh, that's so cool. And Steve's just like, oh, that's nice.
I don't know. Yeah. Game worn Kurt Cobain cardigan.
But it wouldn't be grunge without it.
That's true.
The reason, though, they do have a reason, because it's like an artifact piece. The reason they're not washing it is because they want the stains to stay there, sure. The cigarette burns that you can see on the sweater. So they really... They want you to know that, like, this is a piece of Kurt. Really.
See, I think if I was going to pick a Kurt Cobain piece of clothing, I'd have to go with the shirt that he wore in Smells Like Teen Spirit. To me, that was the iconic thing. That was the first, you know, on a mass level introduction to Kurt to the world. And that video was just so badass.
So do we know if that's available somewhere?
I'm sure somebody owns that and they bought it for like $20,000 or $50,000.
Oh, well, if you're right, then that's worth more than what this sweater's worth.
There's really not a single piece of clothing I really want to own from a band or an artist. It's more the musical instruments.
I would like clothing from my favorite TV show.
Yeah?
You know, stuff like that.
Would you wear it?
I would.
Yeah.
Really?
Except it's the ones that I would love are a little gross because I went out and I got all the pictures because I was a weirdo and I have a whole photo album. My wife says, why do you have in our photo album when the Apple TV thing goes on? She's like, why are all these Lost in Space uniforms just floating around on the TV? I'm
it's
like, just,
it's a vision board of one day I hope to own them.
And she's like, and what are the weird things at the bottom? And apparently what they did for TV, because they wanted everyone to look like the shirt was in perfect shape, they had to wear cod pieces. So at the bottom of the shirt, there were things that would attach around your boys so that the shirt would stay in place.
No, I'd wear that.
So it's like almost it became like a onesie for people, but you didn't notice that. But the shirts were always tight. I remember from the show and I thought it was a good look. And, yeah,
yeah,
so
I
want those. I don't know if I'd wear the cod piece, but I would wear the Will Robinson shirt. Well, I can't fit into it, but maybe I'd probably have to wear the Dr. Smith shirt.
If they, when you say cod piece, I instantly think of, okay, there is something. It would be the Kiss outfits.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
All those, like especially Ace Frehley's. Ace Frehley's to me was, he's always been my favorite member. Obviously, Peter Chris as well, until he hung up on us. But
yeah, well, you know.
No, I just always loved Ace Frehley's. Space Ace costume was pretty badass.
That is cool.
That'd be cool, like on a get it on a mannequin, paint the mannequin's face, put it as a display somewhere.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, see that to me that's a collectible. You know, it's from like, you know, a performance piece as opposed to just like a regular piece of clothing. But then again, I mean, you know, that's what Kurt performed in, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's just one person says you don't want it because it's not a black t-shirt. That's a good point.
There is that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, is there any like musical
my stuff
you would want?
Yeah, my stuff would all be from TV shows and science fiction stuff. I would love props. I would love to have that.
You would want one of those like crazy like Devo hats, the planner's caps?
Oh, yes.
Those would be cool.
See? Yeah, the flower pot hats.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that would be cool. Or they had the fake John F. Kennedy sort of hair that they did for one of their albums and it was on Beautiful World. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having that Devo fake Kennedy hair.
That would be kind of cool. Maybe one of the Ramones jackets. Yeah. One of their leather jackets. That would be kind of cool just to like have up in a frame somewhere. I don't know.
Ooh.
Ooh, I just thought of Jonathan Davis's sparkly Adidas track suits.
Oh, there you go.
Those were really cool.
I would just wear those to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Styling.
So he says, I want the corporate rock star, corporate rock still socks, or the corporate rock sucks shirt that Kurt wore on Rolling Stone, the cover. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like a nice statement, especially like, you know, here we are, we're still punk.
We might
be on Rolling Stone, but I'm going to tell you, you suck.
You would still wear it, or would you collect it? Because, I mean, I don't know how much money you could get for it if you wear it yourself.
Yeah, but I'm not like a guy that's really into like collecting and selling, so I would want it just for my own selfish purposes.
So you're the guy he's looking for that has a ridiculous amount of money, and you'll buy that.
Well, I don't have the ridiculous part of money part. Yeah. But other than that, I have the stupidity part.
Ooh, Slipknot's masks.
Oh, there you go. Cool, yeah, those would be sweaty.
Oh, Steve is saying no.
Those are, A, scary and nasty. I've heard that those things, they've puked in them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, they smell real bad.
They bust their ass on stage. There's no amount of cleaning.
Okay, so maybe a newer one that's been game-worn once without the vomit.
Or maybe never worn. It's just a prototype.
But it's theirs. Like, Corey Taylor touched it.
Yes. Yeah.
Which reminds me, a couple years ago at Pain of the Grass, Corey Taylor threw his tank top off, and it was covered in sweat. He threw it at one of the rock girls.
Rock girl Amber.
And she had the audacity to wash it.
And wore it.
Yeah, she wore it, but she washed it. It was covered in his sweat.
What are you going to do with it? Are you going to create a new Corey Taylor with his DNA?
Maybe.
Okay.
Don't kill my dream, Steve.
This is weird. Yeah, yes. Vicky is...
That's the weirdest thing said today.
Yeah. And
actually,
I think
yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah.
She probably does want the puke-laden Slipknot masks if you really put it to the desk.
Yeah, it really
helps. I feel like it's a conversation starter. You put it in a frame in your house.
And the conversation is, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Corey Taylor's DNA.
What is that smelly shirt over there?
Yeah, so if you get his mask and his t-shirt, you are creating a new Corey Taylor.
So it's an Elvis Presley's black leather suit from the 68 comeback special. Yes.
Ooh.
I'd have a hard time not wanting to put it on, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of those Elvis, the old Elvis, the fat Elvis suits would be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Well, pretty much you can get that. I mean, some of the you're probably
just asking the impersonator in Vegas.
But then now I'm going down that slippery slope. I think of Elvis and all the crazy sequences and all that stuff that he had on there. I'd be instantly thinking like a Macho Man Randy Savage jacket or a Ric Flair robe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or the cowboy hat that Savage would wear with his sunglasses.
Yep. See? Yeah, but they're all kind of costumey, but I mean, at the same time, they were that was the costume of Kurt Cobain.
Just Macho Man sunglasses or Bret Hart sunglasses. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he says, I want the suit of armor that Steve Peden as a kid.
Oh, that's the one I want.
I'm sorry, it's already been sold.
Aw. Oh, that's an iconic piece.
Someone wants O.J. Simpson's glove. That's not weird at all.
No.
That's
not at all.
From his football playing days.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You can buy a prototype of the Kurt Cobain Smells Like Teen Spirit shirt for
$30. Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking
about.
There
you go. Because then you would actually want to wear it, you know?
Yeah, let me see.
It's weird that you look like an earthy Charlie Brown, though, if you bought that.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
And you have to still buy a white long sleeve to wear under it, too.
Yeah.
So.
See, the shirt looks cool because it was on Kurt on a video, and it was all like rough and rugged looking, and
yes,
this is like a perfect looking shirt.
Yeah, it was completely opposite of glam rock. I mean, it's a normal looking, it's almost like geekiest looking shirt, a throwback to the 50s almost, the look to it to me. I don't know, you know, I mean, I if you would ask me before I'd seen those guys rock that look, I'd have been like, this feels like it should be on Leave It to Beaver, this kind of shirt.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's got like a Charlie Brown look to it.
Yeah, Danny's like, look at Danny's like, no, it's the best thing ever made.
I'd buy it.
Yeah, not me. It wouldn't look good on me. I mean, because it's the prototype. Since it's not Kurt's, you just want to recreate the look.
Yeah.
First of all, you got to be attractive. See, Kurt was an attractive dude. You can wear a lot of weird stuff when you're an attractive dude. You just can, and it looks good on you. You know, I think what Cam Newton proves that. You know, there's no way I could get away with anything that Cam Newton
puts on. Oh, you totally could. You should dress as Cam Newton for Halloween.
I really should, yeah.
That would be so awesome.
That would be cool. I have to be careful, though. You know what I mean?
Just the outfit.
Yeah, just wear the leggings and you'll be fine,
just
dude.
Just gotta be careful, all right?
You have to be careful if you're just wearing his clothes, dude.
I don't know. You know, everybody gets mad at everything. I just, you know what? I'm just gonna, I'm gonna just dress as me. I don't want to get anybody
mad. Well, that makes me mad. I don't want to see that.
See? You can't make anybody happy, Steve.
How about the Terminator jacket?
Oh.
Oh, with the bullet holes in it and stuff? That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. His sunglasses, too.
Yeah. Do you get the physique with that once you put it on?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you get. You get the physique.
Speaking of the Terminator.
Yes.
Have you seen the trailer for the Terminator movie?
Not the latest one, no.
It looks great.
Oh, it looks amazing. You didn't see it? It was for us in the Joker movie.
I told we didn't get that. Or if we did, I was in the bathroom.
Oh,
I didn't get any good trailers in the Joker movie. Really, there was no action-y move trailers at all.
Yeah, Terminator: Dark Fate.
Joey
so
Diaz, was it there and I missed it? Dang it!
It looks really good. I saw it on TV.
Oh, you saw it
on the TV.
Oh, I have to check.
Get on YouTube. Find it.
I timed it really well. I was like, okay, these are all boring. There's nothing good here. Terminator Dark Fate.
The one good one.
It should be the first trailer shown.
Sarah Connor looks like a badass in it.
Yeah, she does.
Good for her because, you know, she's got to be in her 50s, right?
Yeah.
And the new Terminator, he's kind of got like an unassuming look to him, but I dig it.
It's kind of, well, I mean,
it's
it reminds
over the top.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Robert Patrick as the T-1000. Like, you don't expect it, and then it's so badass.
So we have a newer Terminator.
Yeah. It looks kind of like nanobots or something like that.
I'm sure they're going to address why Arnold Schwarzenegger as a robot got older, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, they tried to do that in the other ones that aren't considered canon, so we'll have to see how they feel about it.
Linda Hamilton is 63 years old.
Whoa, really?
God. She's fantastic.
Wow.
So since you mentioned it, guys, I know you all went to see the Joker. Is it good?
Joker's just intense. So intense.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because a buddy of mine, you know, he I was really negative a lot. He didn't like it. And he posted, I don't know if he's trying to be a critic or if he's too smart for the room. But here's what I think. If you're a person that is too smart and too thinky, you do not appreciate the emotional aspects of this movie. And I think that happens to a lot of super smart people. They're just not in touch with their feelings. This movie really is a study in a psychiatric crazy. I don't know what you want to call it, breakdowns or whatever. And Steve, I don't know what I saw. Here's what I will tell you.
It's a good call,
yeah,
dude.
I really don't know what I saw. Yeah, I really, you know, on the surface level.
That is the best review ever. Now I want to see it.
Yeah, and I think people just saw the surface and said, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, did you watch the same movie I watched? Because it's purposely designed to make you think, what the hell am I watching? I'll just give you this clue. What is real and what is not? That's what I walked away from that movie going, I'm not too sure what I can believe about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Rev and I have.
Rev, you had the same feelings?
Absolutely. And it's one of those ones where, I mean, people call it a comic book movie. First off, it is not a comic book movie. It's set sort of in Gotham and such like that, so they make you want to feel that. But there's so much to it, and it's one of those ones where I feel that I don't know if I necessarily want to watch it again, but I feel I need to watch it again to get more of it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like watching Fight Club.
It's a trip, yeah. It really is. That's a great... I think of Vanilla Sky as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fight Club and Vanilla Sky is what the Joker feels like to me as far as taking you on this mind-bending trip. And it's also very painful to watch mental health issues and what happens, also how people treat people, which I think actually is the sort of way we treated anybody who was different and never took into account that they had mental health issues. And I think it's brilliant. I really, really do. And Joaquin Phoenix is tremendous.
He is fantastic.
He's a great Joker. He makes me think that, this is some of the Jokers I've seen, the way he acts.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how he gets in, like how he becomes this character. And there's he's the narrator of the movie, basically, and you know, the Joker. And I love it because the Joker is not a reliable person. You can't believe anything the Joker ever says anyway. So as he's telling you his story, you're like, can we believe him? That's the beauty of it. It's like, can we believe any of this?
People want this to be like a super villain origin story, and I don't feel it is. It's really kind of talking a lot about mental health, and especially mental health in the 80s.
See, I will tell you this.
So it sounds like a fun date night kind
of. Oh, yeah. It's, well, it went with the wife. She liked it, but it was kind of not really a great date night.
I think this is the Joker's origin story the way the Joker would tell you, which means you would know nothing.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's... I love it. I really think it was brilliant. And that's why I want to talk to my negative friend and go, you need to get some emotions. You need to, I don't know, go to therapy, do something. You never ever see.
Because he doesn't like something?
Yeah, well, Steve, the way this guy, he doesn't like anything. And it's always it's like avant-garde, like, I will tell you this. It's all technical. And when somebody is super technical, you go, you're not feeling the movie. You can't just... You know, it's just like trying to go, if I do everything the right way in a relationship, my wife will respond to me in a positive fashion. And it's like, well,
too robotic.
Yeah, exactly. And I think his impression of this movie is too robotic. This movie is, if you don't walk out of here affected And really, like, and then I was affected and confused. I was, you know, and it's just what the Joker would want from me. He'd want me to be deeply, deeply hurt and then turn around and laugh and go, I'm glad you get all emotional and everything. None of it's real.
So Todd Phillips, the director, is actually the Joker.
Yeah.
Texts are coming in. One person said, I love the negative thoughts quote from that movie. Another person says, Steve, Joker is fantastic. Watched it 5 times.
Whoa.
I'll buy it when it comes out. It's beautiful. Serena in Seattle says it was devastatingly beautiful as art and took Dark to a whole new level.
Yeah. The thing I love about the movie, there's certain characters that are portrayed in a certain way that Rev, I think, is a clue as to why I think the Joker's messing with us. Because I've never seen this particular character portrayed this way. And that's why it made me wonder, is that a clue?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the...
There's a couple other things into it. I was hoping there'd be a little bit more, like a deeper dig on it from people and articles and stuff, but it's not really getting there at that point. So I don't want to watch it again because it's so grim and it's so dark, and yet I feel compelled to.
I know. I'm with you, Rev. I think I probably will watch it again sometime. I just need to let it sit and set in, but I'm glad that people are digging it, dude, that they want to see it 5 times. That's what a work of art does. I hope Joaquin gets an Oscar nomination. He's tremendous in this. I mean, he really, really is. And the character is tremendous. Just the Joker is like one of the greatest creations of mythology and created by, you know, really American culture, which I think is on the level of what Shakespeare is. And people call me an idiot for saying it, but this movie proves it. It proves that that character is so great that they could make an amazing movie like this based on that character.
Well, the critics, not so much. I mean, it's all right. 68%.
Still fresh.
And for the audience, 90%.
See, that's where the, you know what?
One my more buddy, percent for those critics, man. Let's bump it up.
My buddy is kind of like a critic. And a lot of these critics, I swear, have no hearts. They're just too robotic. They're too jaded. And I don't think that they can go see a movie like this and really have it hit them. I really think that, you know, your EQ level's got to be pretty high for you to appreciate this movie.
Your EQ level?
Your emotional quotient. Instead of IQ, we talk EQ. And if you're a super, super smart person with no emotion, I don't think this movie's going to hit you. That's what I think. Or either that, you're a psycho.
Whoa.
And therefore...
I know, clearly psychos like it. You dug it.
See? Or did I?
Oh, dear.
Oh, gosh.
Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
Nice. What is the subtitle to the upcoming sequel to Top Gun?
Top Gun. We need the money.
No.
Top Gun. We're older.
No.
Hotter.
Wiser.
No. Top Gun. We'll have a sexy volleyball scene in it again.
Well, we hope, but no.
That really should be the title. They decided Maverick for some reason. The sexy volleyball scene again really should be there. You want a shot at beating Steve? Yeah, you got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How do I know if bankruptcy is going to provide me with relief? What are the steps for my situation?
There's so much information out there about bankruptcy with the internet and what people have heard from friends and other people that they've talked to about their financial issues or bankruptcy. There's also a lot of bad information out there or urban legends about bankruptcy. In order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you need to talk to an attorney that's experienced in bankruptcy. So in order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you should talk to an experienced bankruptcy attorney. And right, my job is not to convince you to file bankruptcy. My job is to help you to make that decision and have all the facts so that you can make an informed decision about whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, what benefits it's going to have for you, and what the downside of filing bankruptcy is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at choosetherightchapter.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.